in the tradition of Aboriginal Australia, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this country that we're on, the First Peoples, and the spirit of this land, and thank the spirit of this land for letting me share some words today. Honey eaters, when God commands, return to the Garden of Eden, take only one other person for company. God knows it will be you. As we walked down the streets that day, you held my hand with softness. I let you enter a place I allow so few. Courage surged from your lips. Your fire warmed forgotten embers. A sacred fire rekindled. Shall I feed you honey ants? Gather water from the secret spring? Nurture your warrior spirits as dreams foretold? Shall we share wild honey and wattle seed, waiting for signs from ancestors amid bird sound at sunrise? Honeyeaters confirm we will meet again. Our smiles will brighten the garden like that smack on the lips kiss. Before I forget, we have to do a report. And I'd like to take a photo on my new toy I've purchased before I've even received the money from that prize. So if you don't mind, smile, everyone. And one over here. Thanks. Okay. First time. The early part of my poetry journey was writing about my personal journey to find my family. I was 34 when I found my mother, and 4 years later I found my son. My mum didn't grow up with her mum, I didn't grow up with mine, my son didn't grow up with me. We are survivors of the stolen generation practice in Australia. And the privilege of survival is to be able to share that through my poetry to many people. First time. Sit down in the dirt and brush away the flies. Sit down in the dirt and avoid the many eyes. I've never done no wrong to you, so why will you look at me? But if you've got to check me out, well, go ahead, feel free. I feel that magic thing you do. You crawl beneath my skin to read the story of my soul, to find out where I've been. And now, yes, mob, you make me wait. So I just sit and sit. English words seem useless. I know language just a bit. I sit quiet way, not lonely, because this country sings loud songs. I've never been out here before, but I feel like I belong. It's 3 days now, the mob comes back, big smiles are on their face. This your grandmother's country here, this is your homeland place. We got a shock when we seen you, you got your nana's face. We was real sad when she went missing in that cold Port Pirie place. I understand my feelings now, tears push behind my eyes. I'll sit on this soil any time and brush away them flies. I'll dance with mob on this red land, Mundawirral place. I'll dance away them half-caste lies, cos I've got my nana's face. Stop pretending. That first time you stopped in the park, sitting down talking to the mob, you thought you could handle the pace, drinking gum and telling yarns as the day turned to yellow. You passed out drunk on the grass, pretending you were asleep when the fighting started, pretending you didn't notice his black hands on your tits, pretending deadliness when he staggered away. The next time you bought cigarettes to share, the man you liked was married up already. His cousin was new in town and as handsome as he. He was from Caratha. Where's your car, Arthur? Everyone laughing, passing the goon around, until you passed out drunk on the grass, pretending you were okay with this, pretending you were part of this mob, pretending you belonged, you belonged. You cleaned out your bank account to take your place with the mob, shouting goon and shouting abuse to the staring collar and ties, until you passed out drunk on the grass, pretending you weren't hurting, pretending you weren't hiding, pretending, depending, repenting. And this poem's dedicated to a very special family in Alice Springs that taught me how to grieve. Can't stop drinking, I tell you true, since I watched my daughter perish. She burnt to death inside a car. I lost what I most cherish. I saw the angels hold her as I screamed with useless hope. Can't stop drinking, I tell you true, it's the only way I'll cope. Can't stop drinking, I tell you true, since I found my sister dead. She hung herself to stop the rapes. I found her in the shed. That rapist bastard still lives here, unpunished in this town. Can't stop drinking, I tell you true, since I cut her down. Can't stop drinking, I tell you true, since my mother passed away. They found her battered down the creek. I miss her more each day. My family blame me for her death. Their words have made me wild. Can't stop drinking, I tell you true, because I was just a child. So if you see someone like me, is drunk and loud and cursing, don't judge too hard, because you don't know what sorrows mean mercy. Yes and no. Why is it harder to say no than it is to say yes? We've just been kicked out. Can we stay here? Why do I regret my reply as soon as it leaves my mouth? Will you be home on that day so I can visit? Why do I replay conversations in my mind over and over? Can I borrow some money? I'll pay you back. When will my real answer reveal itself? Do you want to come to the pub for a drink? Why is it harder to say no than it is to say yes? Hey, lovey, you want to get your rocks off? I'm going to read a few poems from Ruby Moonlight, which amazingly has won Book of the Year quite recently in Australia since I've been here, and also the Kenneth Slessor Prize for poetry. I'm sort of amazed because it's a massacre novel, and I never thought Australia was brave enough to publish this story. It's a verse novel, so every page is a poem, but it reads as a novel, and I really hope that it starts bringing some healing to Australia, all Australians. In warm afternoon light, a family group rode the plains, murmured delight as landscapes become familiar. Parrots surge their welcome at the old meeting place. A young woman gathers wild fruits and berries. Her husband, the spear maker, admires her supple body. Dancing a parody of love, his older brother teases his idolism. His own wife is still life, an aged law holder, the young woman her only child. In the shade of gum trees, the old woman sings clan songs. As the cooking fires begin, a wombat gives his soul. Sated now, the women dissolve down a cryptic path under the moon's glow. Gratitude and joy are danced. Ribbons of campfire smoke drift to a sunrise sky as people begin to rise. The spear maker squats by the fire, his weapon hardened over coals. He stands to stretch. His eyes turn to the hillside, where earthen thighs hide a sacred spring. Three crows circle nearby. He can see the women hurrying down from the hidden pathway, their movements clumsy in haste. He can see his brother running from the ochre cliffs, signalling, "Get the spears ready." Fear in their eyes, the women whisper, "There is danger here." In gesture language, the old man signals, "Shh, the air is wrong." The old man and his wife hold parliament with magpies. Within the meeting circle, chatter is warbled with worry. The remainder of the tribe wait in the shadows. Their trust in tribal ways is absolute. They watch in silence, ready to flee. The meeting erupts in a birdstorm. Strange animals and pale men burst from the river. Hack, hack, hack. Hands, heads, hearts. The clan slaughtered. Dying, dying, dead. Her new life starts, this young woman of 16 years. She washes herself in the stream, scrubs her skin with handfuls of coarse sand. With a stone knife, she raises her matted hair. It burns acrid on the embers. The knife slices into her thighs, one sorry mark for each family member. She rubs ash into the wounds, dictated by cultural ritual. Blood mingles in the shallow pool, dissolving the pain and the past. She departs among the trees, her long shadow stumbles. Good friendships blossom slowly. She leaves bird's eggs and dead echidna by the empty plates. He introduces sugar. She begins to sleep by his fire. They make love. The first bird sings a new dawn. She's glad Jack is a man of few words. Jack is glad she is a woman of few needs. In their remoteness, they are heaven. In their remoteness, they are earth. Remoteness is essential in their merger. It is forbidden for Europeans to fornicate with blacks. It is the oasis of isolation that tolerates this union. Neither know the other's language. They never speak during the day, only at night, when no one can hear. He whispers his endearment, ruby moonlight. She is a gem, glistening in night's blackness. The man with no music, allergic to lilting laughter, exits the rackety room. Hunting disease, stinking blacks, the civil duty and personal pleasure, a particular ambush sticks in his mind. Fizzing with frenzy, he fired his gun with precise accuracy, maiming a black man and his whore. In a fur pouch, he found crystals and their newborn son. That day, he lost his music heart. Those crystals funded drunken days, an endless torment of debauchery and violence. He carries his wickedness in his saddlebag, the mummified hands of the boy. The old dancer, two young warriors, one Luba looking back, hurry against the skyline. The silhouettes of four will not be seen in this land again for 90 years. In this country, there is sadness. In this sunset, a ruby moonlight. Kulila, listen. Sit down, sorry camp. Might be 1 week, might be long, long time. Tell every little story when the people was alive. Tell every little story more. Don't forget them, story. Nighttime, tell them to the kids. Keep every story alive. Don't change the story. Tell them straight out story. Only one way story. All around them story. Every place we've been. Every place. Killing place. Sit down here real quiet way. You can hear them crying. All their massacre mobs. Sit down here real quiet. You can feel them dying. All their massacre mobs. Hearts can't make it up. When you feel the story, you know it's true. Tell every little story when the people was alive. Tell every little story more. Might be 1 week now, might be long, long time. Sit down. Sorry, Ken. My little grandson is 11 months old. He's the first in four generations that's been at no risk to leave the family. And I wrote this for River. His name's River, and in language that translates to Carol. The majestic gum trees stand tall this morning. Their spears are held high, brandishing the rain away. This country is thirsty. It's been a long, dry summer. Have the trees lost their mind? A shadow moves by the secret cave in the reeds along the dry red banks where the rude path crosses the river. The last tribal woman writhes in pain. Her baby will be born soon. She will suckle him and fade away. His birth comes gushing, mixing with the ochre dust that scatters on the secret cave floor. In weariness, she holds him. His possum pink skin shines soft, touching a shock of loving care. He does not bear resemblance to warriors. A new passiveness will guide his path among the paleness of new unknowns. The woman sighs alone within his fate. Will the pink people accept him? Will her mob remember his name? They both sleep now on the ochre floor. Her dreams transport a babbling brook, soothing over and smoothing rocks. Carol will his name ring loud. Carol will his name ring proud. Carol will walk among you. In secret he will share language. In language he will share laughter and sacred lore from deep within. He has no need for a monument. His monument stands in his eyes, a faint reflection of his tribal mother. The wind is with the trees now. The spears aloft rattle the sky as rain begins to fall. We have a kinship system in Central Australia with the Yunkundutta people, and so my mother's immediate mother had vanished off the roadside in 1976 from Port Pirie, as mentioned in that other poem. But so all of her sisters and her first cousins become my grandmothers as well. So when I made it back out into the desert and was meeting the family further and further into the desert, I ended up with 27 grandmothers. And this is for them. Messages. Every grain of sand in this big red country is a pore on the skin of my family. Every feather on the ground in this spinifex country is a spiritual message from my ancestors. And every wildflower that blooms in this desert of red is a signpost of hope for my people. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much.